Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Today. Correa drives one to left field, and he caught this one all the way back and gone. Carlos Correa hits his second home run in an Astros uniform in 25, and the Astros lead this one 5-1.
It's been a while, but that man is incorreatable.
I'm not going to lie, I had never heard that Jeff Blum dad joke before. That was the first time that I'd heard that. I don't know if this was a thing when Carlos Correa was with the Astros those 3+ years ago, but I'd like to hear it more. I like the cheesy dad joke nature of that home run call as Carlos Correa went yard yesterday to cap off an Astros taking 2 out of 3 series in the Bronx against the Yankees. Am I satisfied? Sure. But I wanted a total victory. For those who don't know, in military terms, total victory signifies a complete and decisive triumph, leaving no significant challenge or obstacle remaining for the victor. It implies a comprehensive defeat of the opponent, eliminating their ability to continue the conflict or pose a future threat. In a military context, it often means the complete dismantling of the enemy's armed forces and control over their territory. So, this was not a total victory. This was not unconditional surrender by the New York Yankees. But it was a peace treaty with terms heavily favoring the Astros as they were able to win on Friday in 10 innings over New York, 5-3. They lost Saturday 5-4 game. They rallied to tie it 4-4, but they don't end up winning it. And then yesterday, they walk away winning 7-1. Same as it ever was when it comes to Astros-Yankees. You saw Jose Altuve homer Friday. You saw Jose Altuve hit home run number 250 yesterday. And through it all, Carlos Correa, who is making his return to Houston tonight, against the Red Sox, had 2 hits in each of these games, including that home run, and a celebration that Yankees fans are very upset about. It might not have been a total victory, but it's sure a victory that these 2 of 3 over the Yankees we can laugh at. Did you see Cody Bellinger's error not too long after that Correa home run in the 9th inning? I don't know what the hell that was, but it was funny. Aaron Boone got ejected in the 3rd inning. I think he just wanted to go home because he was getting booed in introductions every single game this weekend against the Astros. They're booning him, Paul. Come on. Don't you understand the Yankee tradition where they say every single player's name when they're out in the field? Yes, I do. It was funny because on Friday, Altuve homered before they could finish it. And then on Saturday, Jeremy Peña homered before they could finish it. And then yesterday, Altuve homered before they could finish it. Shock and awe to begin every single one of those games. But of course, they don't get a sweep. I almost feel bad for Yankees fans. Almost. They are a conquered people, even though there's a little under a third of the season left. There's plenty of time for them to potentially put themselves back in playoff position. Now, if the season ended today, they'd be out of the playoffs altogether. But they're speaking like conquered people. And there is something, when you are a conqueror like the Astros are, that's very fun about reveling in the sadness of the opposition. I always love this quote from Arnold Schwarzenegger playing Conan the Barbarian in the movie Conan the Barbarian.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women. That is good.
I don't know about the what about the last part makes me tickle so much, but they are the lamentations of the women. You could say like the cries, the moaning, the sadness, the despair, the lamentations. I'm calling the barbarian. It tickles me. But Yankees fans are really going through it. And I want to give it to you so you can also get a little contact high off of New York Yankee fan lamentation. Sean, can we play the sad violin from SpongeBob SquarePants in the background as we go through some of the sadness that Yankee fans are going through at this moment in time? Oh, beautiful. An account called at October Stanton said this with a picture of Jose Altuve. You are our owner, our franchise daddy, our worst nightmare. We are your child. Another account featuring some thought, it's a hot chick, posted this. You know what? I'm over the trash can shenanigans. We are 8 years removed. I respect what the Astros have done since then. That's Stockholm Syndrome. Their farm system is elite, is it? They're scrappy with trades, but they can't compete at free agency. That's fair. They have a solid business operation. I won't be surprised to see them make another deep postseason run. We have all the money in the world, and we do not have a solid business operation. We have an embarrassing one. Oh, my God. Inject this into my veins. Remember that Carlos Correa home run yesterday? A Yankees fan blog wrote a column with this as the title. Carlos Correa's disrespectful Jose Altuve celebration adds Yankees insult to injury. This person said it's pretty disrespectful to use a Jose Altuve buzzer celebration. Many Yankees fans believe that Carlos Correa's celebration hitting the home run on Sunday, where he pointed at his upper left shoulder slash chest, then shook his head and waved his finger no, and then pointed up to the sky, perhaps saying it wasn't a buzzer, it's the man upstairs, or perhaps saying it wasn't me, it was the man upstairs. It led to this very long my column where the person said, I can't believe they wrote this. I can't believe he did this. I can't believe he did this. But also admitted that the Astros own the Yankees, because he started off this column with this. Anyone attempting to deny that the Astros own the Yankees is playing a fool's game. Despite the Yankees' combined 12-5 record against Houston since the start of 2023. You just did it right there, buddy boy. This type of impenetrable bravado has made the Astros think it's totally okay to reference their own cheating past and relish in it. And they're right! Oh, God, give me all these tears. The lamentations to throw him in. There was a video that Will Kunkel posted of somebody booing the Yankees, and his wife is telling him to sit down. Some Yankees fans even wore paper bags. And perhaps the best part, it was pointed out that the Yankees have won a World Series every decade from 1920 through the 2010s, but the 2020s hasn't happened yet. 2010s hasn't happened, didn't happen. And to wrap it all up, here's the cherry on top. Here's the creme de la creme of the Yankees' misery. From Aaron Boone, after the game, talking about how the Yankees still have a chance. The game is littered with dead and buried teams. We're in playoff position right now. We've been through two bad months where we haven't performed at a level we need to. Go back the year before. You can pick out a number of teams that are sitting in a worse position than we are right now, then go on a run. We have the people to do that. No doubt in my mind. We haven't been good enough the last 2 months. I love that. The game is littered with dead and buried teams. You might be one of them, but not quite, because the Astros were not able to pull off the sweep. Appreciate Mr. Krabs for contributing this sad little violin. I appreciate that. You want to add a little more insult to injury for the Yankees? It was old-timers weekend. Mariano Rivera tore his Achilles. So the Yankees have this old-timers game that is played after one of the afternoon games. I think it was on Saturday. That's why the game was so early. And Mariano Rivera, Sean, tore his Achilles while pitching in this game. We also saw a very heavy Johnny Damon, who looked a lot like Max from Pardon My Take. For those who don't know, he's like a large, portly Italian man.
How are there not more Achilles tears in old-timers games? You'd think it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Or like some sort of serious injury happens a lot because, you know, and I'm not saying they're all Johnny Damon, but a lot of the old-timers aren't taking care of themselves.
I would agree with you there.
To the level where they can even play in an old-timers game. So I'm surprised there's not more carnage at one of at some of these.
Yeah.
Even like pitching. Like, I'm surprised these guys' arms don't fall apart. They're like 50.
I'm trying to think of hefty Yankees from years past.
David Wells.
David Wells is the only one I can think of. I don't think they ever had like huge guys. Was there a Bartolo Colon era with the Yankees? Probably. I feel like he played for a third of baseball.
I mean, even like Clemens.
Clemens was definitely in the best shape he could be at that age.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
No, but what I'm saying is now he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised these guys, Johnny Damon was in great shape when he played for
Yankees. Like, Johnny Damon was like the fit, like, svelte guy that was fast. And
Now I'm surprised there's not more Johnny Damons out there. I'm surprised Damon didn't get hurt.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Getting out of bed this morning.
damn, Sean.
But yeah, I'm surprised there's not an Astros style injury report after each one of these Yankees old timers games.
Seriously.
Also, Astros old timers game.
Oh man, that would
they
be
should
great.
Do that.
It would be cool to see Nolan Ryan out there throwing one more time. I bet Nolan Ryan could still hit pretty high.
It's like all those guys and then like Josh Reddick. Like someone who was on the team like 2 years ago.
Yeah, that would be fun. But from what I understand, no Yankees were euthanized on the field during the old-timers game. So just a torn Achilles for Mariano Rivera. That's it. They didn't have to put anyone down.
It's a real shame what happened to Whitey Ford.
I don't know who's alive and who's dead.
I was going to say, I don't know if
Yankees.
He's still with us.
He might be. He might not. Anyway. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Astros took 2 of 3 against the Yankees. Alex Bregman and the Red Sox in town tonight. Carlos Correa making his Astros debut for the second time in Houston. And Christian Javier is going to be on the hill for the Astros tonight as well. Definitely a more formidable foe with the way they're playing, Boston is, than the Yankees. So if you want to talk about that upcoming series, you can, or your favorite memories from an Astros taking 2 out of 3, almost total victory against the Yankees. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Up next, we do have Christian Javier back tonight. What the hell's up with Yordan Alvarez? We'll give you some Astros ER because the latest Yordan update, as always, is extremely confusing. Help us figure it out. Stay put.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Altuve delivers deep to left field again, and that one's gone. Second home run of the series, 15th against the Yankees, and he continues to turn that negative energy around here in the Bronx. It's 1-0 Astros.
Yeah, said it before, I'll say it again. Keep booing. If you want Altuve to get locked in on the road, just continue to boo him.
Is that actually true? Is Jose Altuve a better player if you boo him? Truly, I don't know the answer to that. I was actually pretty surprised to find out that as far as Altuve and how he fares against other opponents, his numbers against the Yankees are middle of the pack for him. He has a career 813 OPS, which is pretty good against New York, but that is his 16th best OPS against teams. His 278 batting average against New York is his 22nd best of the 29 teams he played against. Talking Yanks posted that. I don't know if that was in a way trying to show that Altuve,
well, at least he's not owning the Yankees as much as we think he is. Some sort of, we'll take the many victories when we can get them. He hit two home runs against us this weekend, and he's owned us, but he doesn't own us as much as he owns other teams. Or it might just be a collective confession by Yankees fans that, hey, maybe Altuve wasn't cheating. Maybe he just always has been better than us. And I'm starting to see some of that, which is fun, but it's also disappointing. Yankee fans are supposed to be villains, and they have been, I think, just beta bitches for essentially, what, the last 10 years or so. They just ain't who they used to be. They're not the people that, despite living in Tampa Bay and probably supposed to be a Devil Rays fan at the time, they're not that obnoxious kid that went to Admiral Farragut, yes, we called it other words, high school that was in the St. Petersburg area. It's not the kid who I got in a fight with after Aaron Boone hit that home run who ripped my Nomar Garcia Parr shirt. That kid was trying to bully me because I was wearing a Red Sox shirt the day after the Red Sox lost. Like a man. Like a man. Got in a fight, that kid ripped the shirt. You know what? That was at least Yankees bully behavior.
Yeah. It's an entire generation of Yankees fans that have just gotten that beaten out of them.
Exactly. Because, I mean, the collapse against the Red Sox. They had lost the World Series days later to the Marlins. Like, there was a lot going on, and they've just, as a fan base, turned into a bunch of whiny little babies.
Yeah, like even like 2009. It's like at this point, it's 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Like it's just been, it's been a long time.
It's been, I mean, shoot. Yeah, there are some irresponsible fathers who had children that have never seen the Yankees win a World Series.
Yeah. There's, I mean,
there's that when they were 16. No offense.
There's a college student out there that doesn't remember the 2009 World Series.
For sure. Like, definitely, yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It's incredible. So, Astros take 2-3 against New York. A couple of comments. We were talking about how Mariano Rivera tore his Achilles at the Yankees old-timers game Saturday.
Speedy recovery.
We wish him the best.
Hopefully he'll be ready for next year's old-timers game.
Honestly, I think a lot of Yankees fans would take Mariano Rivera over their current closer based off of the text that my Yankee fan friend from college was texting me about the dude on Friday night.
Williams?
Yeah.
Devin Williams is not.
He sucks.
He got him to change the beard policy and then has just been...
Right.
Been awful.
It's truly. Just completely terrible. Texter said, in relation to the story to us talking about Mariano Rivera, I snapped my Achilles at 29 doing the House of Pain dance. So it happens. Damn, that sucks. That sucks. I feel for you, man.
That does suck. Yeah. I don't mean to laugh, but that is
funny. It is funny.
It's a funny way to hurt your
Achilles. Yeah. Another texter, we were talking about, hey, like, what Yankees were fat and that maybe would need a lot of monitoring to make sure that they don't aggravate anything if they're out there. Someone said CC Sabathia was fat when he played for them, but now he's fit. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, he's
in good shape now.
It was like a
relatively at least.
He went like Jeff Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, like where he got skinny after.
Oh yeah. You're like, do you have cancer? Oh no, you just are taking your diet seriously for a change.
Yeah. Or you're not for CC, yes.
Yes.
For offensive linemen, it's like you're not forced to be 300 pounds.
No, exactly.
Anymore.
You don't have to eat anymore. It is funny seeing how svelte some of these guys get.
Yeah.
Like Wade Smith, like former Texans offensive lineman, Chris Myers, former Texans offensive lineman. And they are over 10 years removed from playing for the Texans and I think in both their cases, maybe from playing in the NFL, but it is wild just to see, oh, wow, when I'm not doing a carb overload for an entire year, you can actually lose weight?
Just drop weight like that.
Must
be crazy.
Nice. Yeah, you're probably like happy as an offensive lineman out there. It's like, oh, I can finally actually get a little svelte.
Yeah.
Let's go. So we talk about what the Astros do with their medical staff, training staff all the time. He said do in quotation marks, by the way, Paul did right there, speaking about himself in the third person, because we don't really get it, any of it. But it is time for another episode of Astros ER because we have some good news for a change.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
He don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Christian Javier is making his Astros 2025 debut tonight. He has not pitched since 2024, out for 14 months. Going to be very interesting to see what he does, making his first start since May 21st of last year. When Javier was at his best, I thought he had the most electric stuff on the Astros. However, I felt that most strongly when Javier was in that weird hybrid. He could be a starter, but we like him as a reliever, and he does all sorts of crazy stuff for us. Because he is one of those guys where a good start for Javier is he lasted 5 2/3 innings.
Yeah, like he was never a length guy. He just always had high pitch counts. So
right.
Even, you know, the combined no-hitters, they had to be combined.
Exactly.
He even while giving up no hits, could only get through six or so innings.
Whenever you get six innings from Christian Javier, you're like, yes, awesome.
That's like eight from Fromber.
I'm hoping for four tonight. Four innings from Javier tonight would be great. I hope that the fastball that used to drive everyone crazy is back to being what it used to be. He was at least hitting the same velocity in the minor leagues, but it's one thing to hit the same velocity. It's another thing to have the same kind of movement. Perhaps it'll be a little bit better at first because since his elbow's probably like the strongest it's ever been since he's been rehabbing it for, you know, over a year.
Yeah, that's kind of what they say is that, especially coming off of Tommy John, like the velocity will go up just because you're like specifically working it back. So you will throw a little bit harder to start with. But yeah, he was always more of the rise ball.
Right, exactly.
Optical illusion that he had.
Boing.
Yeah, we'll see if he still has that. That would be super sick if he still has that.
It would also be super sick if Yordan Alvarez ever plays baseball again. Here's the latest update for Yordan Alvarez, who, by the way, has been out for over a month with hand inflammation. That we thought was worse than hand inflammation, but it is hand inflammation.
It's been a lot of things.
I am opening the door for others to call him soft right now. I am. I'm just going to open it. I'm not going to do it. But if Jeremy Branham, 3-6, wants to, the floor is yours. It's getting a little concerning. And there's also other moments where you're like, hey, you left the game because of smoke. Okay. But anyway, Yordan's a great hitter and had a great home run in the 2022 World Series. And also was so awesome in that playoffs, especially against the Mariners, that we're going to look the other way for now. But this is the update, Sean. Yordan Alvarez is still in the coach's batting practice stage of his hitting progression. Huh? What the hell's that? Alvarez hit in the cage today and is scheduled to hit on the field tomorrow in West Palm Beach. But I don't know what that means.
They're having a coach throw to him and not a professional pitcher.
Is the coach throwing hard to him?
No.
Or is the coach throwing home run derby batting practice?
It's bad.
Okay. There we go. I was hoping that when Carlos Correa said this on Friday, we get Yordan back pretty soon, hopefully, and this team is going to be stacked. I was like, does Carlos know something we don't? No, Carlos doesn't know something that we do. It's that the Astros medical and training staff has gotten a lot worse since he was gone.
Yeah, that hopefully is like the most important word in that sentence.
Because
it does turn it from like, oh, wow, they must know that, you know, he's close to,
right.
Oh, hopefully he's just saying what we're saying is like,
exactly.
Hopefully he comes back soon.
Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. That is Astros ER. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. If you want to talk about what the Astros did to the Yankees over the weekend, almost got that sweep I demanded, almost got that total victory. Instead, they take 2-3, half a game up on the surging Seattle Mariners in the American League West before a three-game set against Boston starting tonight with Alex Bregman making his return to Houston along with Carlos Correa making his return to Houston and Christian Javier pitching for the first time since May 21st of last year. Up next, there was a preseason game. If you watched this live, I feel sorry for you. I have a mini rant about Saturday's Texans game before we talk about all the good and the bad. Coming up next, it's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
That ball hit well to left field, and we are
to nothing.
Well, top rail at 97. It might take more than that to beat Jeremy Pena, who gets things off to an electric start, hitting a rocket into the seats and left.
Jeff, you had a chance. You had a chance to do it. Todd Callis, you also had a chance to do it. Do it. At some point, do it. I am greenlighting you to do it, to do what needs to be done, which is this.
Jeremy Pena led off with a home run Saturday.
Come on. Come on. It's not that hard to yarl. Anyone can yarl. That's how Scott Stapp became famous with Creed. Anyone can do it. I know I'm talking Pearl Jam and not Scott Stapp. Scott Stapp may have stolen from Pearl Jam on that front. There was a fun Mad TV skit back in the day about all of the bands that sounded like there's a lot of bands that sound like that. But I can do it, which means Jeff Blum can do it, which means Todd Callis can do it. Come on, Todd, put those Syracuse pipes to work, okay? It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros took 2 of 3 against the Yankees over the weekend. They play the Red Sox for 3 at Daikin Park. Looking forward to going to tonight's game to see Alex Bregman's return, to see Carlos Correa's return, to see Christian Javier's return. Very curious about the tribute videos that each will get. And I do hope that everyone gets cheered. Correa's going to. Javier's going to. Bregman, I do wonder if there is a smattering of boos. Definitely not during the tribute video, but perhaps during his first at-bat, especially given that Boston swept the Astros not too long ago, put them in this rather precarious position that they're currently in the American League West. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I am glad that I waited to watch Saturday's Houston Texans preseason opener until late last night. Had a good weekend with the girlfriend. We watched a lot of Righteous Gemstones. She introduced me to a rapper called Lil Dicky, which I had never heard of. Then we watched a bunch of a TV show, Dave. We had a great time watching things that we liked. I hate watching preseason football. I've been out on preseason football since the days where I was forced to work entire 6 to 7 hour days covering preseason football when I was over at the flagship. It felt like I was being held at gunpoint. I wasn't actually, but I mean, you're a man in your 20s. It's a Saturday in August. You want to go to the pool. You want to hang out with your friends. Instead, you're watching fake football, which is getting progressively worse by the year. So the Texans played the Vikings Saturday in Minnesota, and as expected, almost none of the players you wanted to see played. Sean, I have a question for you. Can you guess what the average price of a ticket was at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota for Saturday's game? The average price of a ticket.
It's going to be disappointingly high.
Yes, it is.
$50?
$78.
Oh, my God.
$78 to watch that game. A game where, on the Vikings side, Justin Jefferson was mic'd up for a full quarter, never even put on pads. And on the Texans side, all the Texans starters did the same thing. You didn't see anyone of consequence out there for the Texans. No C.J. Stroud, no Nico Collins, Joe Mixon's hurt, no Dalton Schultz, none of the integral offensive linemen, no Titus Howard, no Laken Tomlinson, no Will Anderson, no Danielle Hunter, no Derek Stingley, no Kamari Lassiter, no Kalen Block. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Kyabe Fairbairn, we got to see him. Woohoo! He hit a field goal.
Look good.
He also butchered one of the kickoffs in this game. $78. Imagine if you'd gone up to that game, not knowing what we know about the preseason, because we know how awful it is and what an F you it is to football fans everywhere. Imagine if you had gone up to Minneapolis and thought, I'm going to go watch this game. I brought my whole family. We spent $400 on the tickets to go watch the game, and then we spent a bunch of money on concessions. And then that's what you see. I love the NFL. This is the worst thing that they do, stealing money from fans who watch preseason games. Guess what the average price for a Texans-Panthers ticket is this coming Saturday at NRG Stadium, Sean?
Going to be cheaper. It's going to be $30.
$110.56, at least as far as the average ticket price. Vivid Seats says there are some tickets available for $67. Some say there are some cheap tickets available for $12 because it's probably unfortunately, sad NFL Texans fans that are like, well, I'm not going to go. I want to get something in return for it. And the NFL makes it so difficult to get rid of these tickets because on the second market, if you sell a preseason ticket, they're like, no, you have to sell for a full price. Bruh, you can't make a profit off of this. You can maybe get it for less. It's ridiculous. It is such an FU to all of us. Really is. One of the preseason games this weekend, and it was for legitimate reasons, but Lions-Falcons, like, they just ended it with a quarter left. It's not actually competitive. Like, the point of the game is to get these young players out there in a game situation, which is probably the only game situation that they'll ever be in, and you hope they swim instead of sink. But for the most part, it's tough, brutal to watch football, and you're paying a ton of money to watch these games in person. So I am now at the point where I will never again watch a preseason game live. Ever. Ever. I feel for all the people who do it. I know some people in my industry do it, and they're looking at me like with an eyebrow raised up and saying, like, you're not doing your job, especially when you consider yourself a football guy. Fair enough. Sorry, I'm not watching that live. I will watch the condensed version on NFL Plus. So it will be 37 minutes instead of 3 hours plus. It is a massive FU by the NFL, which is already doing a lot of that, seeing as if you want to watch every single game this season, it'll cost you a little shy of $700 via all the streaming platforms, etc., etc., etc. It's frustrating. I hate it. So, just wanted to get that rant off of my chest before we talk about what happened in the game. What did happen in the game, Paul? Well, everyone's favorite moment was C.J. Stroud and his presence on the sideline in a game he didn't dress for. Here is C.J. Stroud being interviewed by Shelby Coppedge, who you might know from the Space City Home Network. She fills in on Astros duty from time to time for Julie Morales and for Kevin Eschenfelder. Asking C.J. Stroud a question. Notice how distracted he gets by what's going on the field.
All right, CJ, I have a question. So when you're in a fan base like this, Vikings, whoever else, and it's crazy loud, how do you handle yourself and communicate with the team?
I think everybody goes back to practice and doing it in practice. So you make it hard in practice. When you come out here in these environments, they're not as bad. So, So you make it harder on yourself in practice. So when you come out here, it's a little easier.
So distracted. He's clearly on autopilot giving that answer as it is. But he's distracted by what's going on the field. I also watched the Vikings broadcast of the Texans-Vikings game because that was the one that was the condensed version. And Justin Jefferson did an entire quarter on the sideline, and the entire time he was just like basically going off to the side in the middle of the interview and talking with teammates and then watching the field. And I think Paul Allen, who is noted for being a little bit of a loud mouth when it, as far as play-by-play guys go, I could tell he was getting annoyed. It was kind of funny. But bringing it back to CJ, what's great about CJ right there, did you notice that? He was distracted by what's going on in the game. Always locked in, yeah. Even if he's not playing. That's my quarterback!
Even if it's a game where Keaton Slovis and Graham Mertz combined to throw 30 passes.
I will say, Keaton Slovis didn't look bad. Davis Mills didn't look bad.
Graham Mertz?
We'll get to Graham Mertz. There was also a moment where C.J. Stroud, so locked in, called a timeout for D'Amico Ryans. Now, you could say, hey, that's some game management issues for D'Amico Ryans in a preseason game. But I don't really know what game management situations happen during a preseason game. But C.J. Stroud motioned to a referee to call a timeout, apparently. So there's that. Also, it was Nick Caley's first game as offensive coordinator. He's a booth guy. Not on the field. He's in the booth. Bobby Sloak was on the field. Nick Caley in the booth.
I think I like the booth a little bit better.
It makes a little more sense. Probably get a little bit more
bird's eye view.
Bird's eye view, but also less distractions, less moving around. Yeah. I actually think it makes more sense if you are a coordinator to be up there. Because, yeah, when you're in the middle of it, it is very distracting. Like, all those game management decisions that we talk about being so easy because we've played Madden, you get on the field and you're walking around. It's definitely a little bit different, for sure. I say this as somebody who coached in a game this summer, the Blondes versus Brunette game. It was interesting doing that. I had a great timeout call in that game.
The C.J. Stroud-esque?
Yeah. I was locked in.
The winning mentality?
Now, maybe we weren't as locked in preparations leading up to it, but we were out. We were outgunned in that game. Other notes from the preseason game. So, not a lot of starters out there. Left to right, you had Arianti Ursary, the rookie, who's getting a lot of praise from vets. Juice Scruggs at left guard. Jake Andrews at center. Right guard, Ed Ingram. Right tackle, Blake Fisher. The offensive line graded pretty well. and those who are in the know seem to believe that they handled exotic jazzy stuff from the defensive line, like stunts and slants, a little bit better. But, and again, remember this, it's a preseason game. I'm going to do a new segment going forward because of all the times that Houston Texans call each other dogs, and it's going to be the dogs of the game. And I'm going to tell you the three dogs that I like, and I'm going to tell you the dogs I didn't like. So who are the border collies? Because I like border collies. They're the smartest dog. They're cute. Of Texans-Vikings on Saturday. Number one, third down Braxton Berrios. Braxton Berrios kept on getting open when he needed to. Whether it was for Davis Mills or Keaton Slovis, might be able to fight his way onto the roster. He's going to have to do some stuff as a returner, but he was the first returner out there. Dare Ogunbowale! He was also out there. Looked pretty good running behind that offensive line. Jalen Knoll, rookie wide receiver from Iowa State. He had a nice catch on a pass that wasn't so great towards the sideline, was able to turn up field, cut a couple extra yards. Caught a screen and slipped up field somehow. I think it got taken back by injury. And honorable mention for a couple of guys. I thought Russ Yeast and Jamal Hill defensively were all over the place. And that Woody Marks did a pretty good job in blitz pickup. Here are the pugs of the game. The pugs. Pugs are disgusting abominations to the Lord. They are. You know it. I know it. Blake Fisher. Good God. Didn't think it could get worse. It did. He was terrible. Dudes were blown by him. Got called for a false start. I would be concerned if I were Blake Fisher about making this roster. He was awful. Number two, Graham Mertz. Good God, dude. Graham Mertz could have thrown easily five interceptions in the second half. I had flashbacks to watching Graham Mertz at Florida. Goodness gracious. Not fun. And the other pug of the game, D'Angelo Ross in coverage. Not so great. D'Angelo Ross is more of a special teamer, playing cornerback. But he was constantly getting beat in coverage and out-physicaled in coverage. And he had an interception that he could have had. It bounced right off his hands. Rough. Also, Jawar Jordan muffed the punts. Not so great. Paul Galancho. That's all you need to know from Texans and Vikings on Saturday. The Vikings won that game 20-10. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. And Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 281, new segment, Who Let the Dogs Out? That was going to be the segment. I've just been too lazy to pick up every single time a Houston Texans player has said dog, which it's been a lot. We're talking probably at least 43 in the last 2 to 3 years. And me being a procrastinator, I've been like, oh, it's too much of a task for me to accomplish. I'm going to wait until next year to do it. Like my New Year's cards, which I still haven't sent out for last year. I got to send one to Sean, to Joe.
At a certain point.
No. It's the latest. The later the... If I don't get it done by football season, I'm not going to do it at all.
Are you... do you think you'll ever reach a point where you're sending out?
No. This is going to be the latest ever. It's all... Okay. Listen, I have a girlfriend now. We're progressing as a person, even though there's been a lot of things that I've been trying to do for the last couple of weeks that I haven't. But we are progressing.
Okay.
We're evolving.
I would like to get my 2025 Happy New Year's in 2025.
Yeah.
And right now, it's looking shaky.
Well, it could happen. It might not. You know, okay. Plenty of time.
But I also would like Happy 2025, but to get that in January 26.
You might. Depends. Gary has a thought on the Texans. Gary, what's up?
Hey guys. Mike, that Ike and Tina Turner song. I got one. Jerry Medina owns the Yankees like Ike owned Tina.
Oh, damn.
Ike owned Tina. Jerry Medina owns the Yankees like Ike owned Tina.
Damn.
But anyway, hey, no. Look.
Ike and Tina Turner, for those serious, who don't understand the reference. What you got, Gary? That is a good reference. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Look, hey, on a lighter note, I mean, sure do a little pivot. I don't care who he's throwing to, first, second, third reps or whatever. When you're in the pros, I mean, to not get many reps at practice and to do what he did, I mean, it's just a preseason game. I get it. We just do it. But with grown men, whether they're first or second or third defenders, with somebody barreling down in your face, when you pivot, when you shift, when you show pocket presence, when you show calmness, it doesn't matter if that was a senior high school at Katy. If somebody's coming at you at a QB and you shift over, you let your guys block for you, and you let the play develop, it does, under the circumstances he was in, He just demonstrated what he did at Jackson State, which was not great, at Colorado, and here for one game. That's what – it's only one game, but when defenders are coming at you, it doesn't matter at this time. Yes, yeah. And so he looked good, and he had some presence, and he didn't look rattled.
No, I'm with you, Garrett.
That's not going to be perfect.
Appreciate the phone call. Like, look, he looked good. He looked good. I think he deserves another opportunity to start. Kevin Stefanski's being kind of coy, and the Browns are being weird about it. The Browns are handling this, honestly, very strange. I will say this about Shador. Shador's doing some victory laps already, and listen, deserved, but it's one game. Hey, you know, like, on to the next one. I think you got to put the blinders on, listen to that advice you got from Tom Brady. What's the next best game? The next one. But he did look good out there. He was put in a situation a lot of people were saying he was put in to fail. I don't think he was. He had an opportunity as a fifth-round rookie. I understand that, you know, some people don't look at him as a fifth-round rookie, like a Mel Kiper or something like that. But no, he got in that game, looked pretty good, and now it's a matter of do it again. But it's very weird. The Browns just seem dysfunctional with the way that they're handling it. Because Stefanski's being very coy about who they start the next game. And on top of that, Stefanski's... I'm trying to find... I had like a couple of articles that I had highlighted. Stefanski did not want to talk about the quarterback competition and said he's not ready to name a starting quarterback for the second preseason game. I think Sanders deserves another shot because, like, look at this room.
Yeah.
Who has the most upside in this room? Maybe the Browns don't look at Shador Sanders as having more upside than Dylan Gabriel, but I think, like, everyone else does
yes.
in the world.
Yes. It's you not know? Crazy to think that Shador Sanders.
And it's like Flacco and Kenny Pickett and who's the other guy they just brought in? Like, it's all people.
Oh, I mean, Huntley.
Yeah, right. It's come on.
Yeah.
That's what I said, and I know that there's a lot of people that are super pro Shador Sanders right now, and everyone's very excited. Good. I like that we have something to be interested in this preseason, but I think the Browns are handling this horribly,
yeah.
as they always do.
Because they A, that B, they can't say like, well, you know, I'm everyone's excited, but like we're still not changing our depth chart over the, you know, like they can't come out and like poo-poo. What everyone saw, especially because, yeah, everyone gets excited when Shador Sanders does things. And
yeah.
he did pass, like, the test of, like, do you look like you obviously don't belong? No, he looked like he can handle it. He didn't look completely overwhelmed. He made some plays at the same time. Just like, hey, Keaton Slovis looked good. It is preseason game one. Like, let's, you know.
But he looked good enough where Slovis was like, hey, all
right. Yeah.
Sanders
yeah.
was, whoa.
Yeah, he had a couple more plays.
Sanders was, okay, like, I'm intrigued. Like, I don't want to see more Keaton Slovis. I don't want to see more Davis Mills. I don't.
Hater. You're only saying that because you're a hater.
No. I just went on a rant at the beginning of the segment. Like, preseason football sucks. It sucks. Highlights are great. I mean, I had a giant pants 10 over Trevion Henderson for the Patriots with the first play of the preseason, taking it back to the house and a couple of nice screen catches that he had.
Yeah.
You know, like I legitimately was in a bar called The Deuce in the Heights on Saturday. I saw the highlights for the first time. I stood up in my bar chair and I started saying, we are so back! I was drunk, but I did say that. But yeah, good for Shador.
Yeah.
I want to see another opportunity out there. I would also say, hey, man, like, dial it back a little bit where you're saying to a Browns reporter, there's anything positive about me. Well, he's going to say something positive about you now. But, like, come on. Can we wait till the regular season game to do that? That's all I'm saying. I want Sanders to do well. I do. I think he is a fascinating character, and he is so damn polarizing, which means he's always going to be interesting to talk about for someone like me. So I want to see him do well, but I have advice for him.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'd spend the whole segment before talking about Shador Sanders being like, it is the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, who kind of cares? And then Shador Sanders balls out. Like, there has to be a little bit of consistency with, like, well, it is the preseason.
Yeah.
He did play well.
Yeah.
But it is the preseason.
Right. We saw J.J. McCarthy for the Vikings. He had one nice throw.
Yeah, yeah.
So did Davis Mills. Mills had an awesome throw. Down the middle of the field. But that was the highlight. That was the highlight, that play right there. It's one of those throws where you're like, whoa, Davis Mills? But that's what every quarterback will do from time to time. And that's how we get a little bit crazy talking about these guys this time of year. You know, all it takes is one sexy little splash play for you to be turned all the way up. So, good for Shador. And I hate the preseason. Keith has a thought on golf. Great. Let's see how off the beaten path we go with Keith, as we always do. Keith, what's up?
Hey, guys. Love the show. First time caller, long time listener.
Yes. No, you're not, but thanks.
I want to talk about Tommy Fleetwood really quick. You know, he's played in 162 PGA Tour events. He's got a one-shot lead with just a couple holes to play yesterday. And then he doesn't even make the playoff. Like, what's the deal with Tommy Fleetwood? Is he cursed? Is he still a quality golfer? How can he get his first PGA Tour win? And, you know, what does this say about, you know, Justin Rose at age 45 winning a tournament? But Tommy Fleetwood, man, he's got to be due. I know you guys tuned in yesterday. Nothing else is on TV. Preseason football is terrible watch. I hate preseason all sports across the board. So I completely agree with you there, Paul. But Tommy Fleetwood, man, he's so close. I think
15 under.
Put it on the record that he's going to win a major next season.
I mean, he's 34. He should be able to.
Yeah. Still young. Relative, you know, golf young.
Great hair.
But I think Pug of the Weekend. Honorary Pug of the Weekend.
Ooh. But he was 15 under. He was tied with Scottie Scheffler.
And then what happened?
And he shot 69 in the last round, from what I understand. I don't really know how it went, but if you're just looking at specific numbers, you could talk yourself into
it
being just as good as Scottie Scheffler.
I saw something where he had like zero par or better, or maybe it was birdies or better in the last 11 holes.
Oh, well, that's rough.
That's
rough.
It wasn't not great. I mean, obviously, you know, hey, you got chased down by Scottie Scheffler.
Hey,
that happens.
I got a take, okay?
Oh, no.
I got a take.
Oh, no.
Golf's hard. It's hard.
It's a hard game.
It's hard. Unless you've mastered the sport like me, it's hard. And you know how you master the sport? Stop playing. If you stop playing, you've mastered it.
No more bogeys.
No more ridiculous bills for a round that you're going to sweat your balls off in and probably sexually harass a car girl. Like, no more of that. You're going to be driving drunk in the golf cart. Yeah. You're going to avoid all sorts of complications.
Yeah, maybe an NHL player thinks you're moving too slow. Mouth off to him.
Bang! 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 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. We are the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. That's why we talk about Shador Sanders and about Tommy Fleetwood. Up next on the Paul Gallant Show, was Carlos Correa talking trash to the Yankees and their faithful in yesterday's ninth inning? We'll talk about that, stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at St. Arnold. Had myself a lawnmower while I was out and about this weekend. You already know that St. Arnold has a beer for everyone. That if you've been to their beer garden before, we were there on my birthday, it was awesome. It's a place for everyone. And now if you want to host a private event, they've got a space for everyone. You can have your private event at St. Arnold's, like a wedding, a family reunion, a birthday party, company happy hour, a trade show, 2,300 people. They've got you covered. For groups smaller than 100 people, there's the investor's pub. For larger groups, there's the beer hall. These have full audio and visual capabilities, projectors, screens, with in-house catering prepared by the St. Arnold chef. That guy rules. That food's really good there. I love their chicken sandwich. An appetizer table or a full-on feast, it's all there. And plus, the freshest St. Arnold beer in the world with wine, cider, and root beer. If you want to host an event, you got to book it right now at St. Arnold's. Go to their website, starnold.com, click on private events, starnold.com, click on private events. And if you mention ESPN or Paul or Gallant, you will get the brewery game package free for your event. It gets you a combination of dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, a pool table, and a photo booth as well. So book your event now, starnold.com. Click on private events. That's starnold.com. Click on private events and tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
ESPN 97.5.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.